you would, take your Bible and turn to the book of the Revelation. And you can stop in chapter 1. We're going to end up in chapter 4 and throughout some other passages. So, you know, you sit and you listen to people as they make prayer requests, and it just burdens your heart to know that there's a lot of hurt in people's lives. But then you remember that we have a God who, as we heard tonight in the song, He really cares when your head is bowed low. And I know some of you, your head is bowed low. Sometimes when your heart is heavy, it kind of makes your head bow low. And I just want to encourage you something. I want to put you in remembrance of something you already know. There's a God in heaven who knows far more about your situation than I as a pastor or we as a church family. And I'm just thankful that he'll be with us through those types of times. He never leaves us to go through those times alone. And I'm thankful for that truth in the Word of God. I sure am. Before we get into the Word of God tonight, I want to ask you some questions. And some of these are repeats. And so I hope you'll bear with me, just trying to help you to get in your mind what the book of the Revelation is about. Who wants to raise your hand and tell me who is the revelation of in the book of the Revelation? Yes, Sister Mary. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, it's not the revelations, all right? I say that often because I hear it often. It's a revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, all right? Define revelation. Somebody raise your hand and define revelation. What does revelation mean, Pastor Brandon? It's the unveiling. It's the unveiling. We're going to see Jesus in all of His glory in this book. And it begins that way in chapter 1 and just continues. There's a lot of things that the book of the Revelation unveils about the Lord Jesus. And we'll look at those. We've looked at them faintly, but we'll certainly look at them as we continue to study the book. Revelation 1:19, I want you to turn there. And this is not going to really be a question. It's going to be a point of emphasis because we're getting ready to go into a section of Scripture that I'm going to talk with you about tonight, and I'm going to ask some more questions. But in verse number 19 of Revelation 1, Jesus said, write the things, and here's, I believe, the outline of the book. I want to expand on it a little bit for you tonight. He said, write the things which thou hast seen. And I believe that's chapter 1. I believe that's visions of God. John got a vision of God. He got a vision of God the Son. Visions of God. That's the things that John had seen. And then he said in verse number 19, he said, write the things which are. And I believe that's chapters 2 and 3. I think that's visions of grace. I'm glad that God's period of grace encompasses the church. This is the church age. God is dealing. He's calling out a people. And he's building his church. And I sure am thankful for that. And it's visions of grace now, not of works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Amen. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we have visions of God in chapter 1, and then visions, the things which are of grace. That's the church age, chapter 2 and 3. Now, chapter number 4 begins a new section, and it has kind of two divisions in it. He said, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are. And then if you'll notice in verse number 19, he said, the things which shall be hereafter. That's visions of government. God is getting ready to govern. And that's in chapter 4, all the way through chapter number 19, actually through chapter 20. And then in chapter number 21, it's visions of glory. Chapter 21 and 22, new heaven and a new earth. And I'm glad I'm going to be a part of that. So I believe that is a good biblical outline of the book of the Revelation. Well, I've got another one. Well, listen, you could probably get a half a dozen more, probably a dozen more. That's not all the outlines of the book of the Revelation. You could outline it through sevens. There's plenty of things that stand out in the book of the Revelation that'll stand out to you. Let me give you a couple more questions. There's three groups that God deals with in the book of the Revelation. Who can raise your hand and tell me who they are? I'll tell you the first one. It's Israel, or the Jew. There's two others. Actually, in all the world, but I mean, in the book of the Revelation, he deals with them. Yes. The church, that's one. He deals with the church. He judges the churches right here. I find it interesting that he judges the church before he judges the world. Yeah. Chapter 2 and 3, he judges the churches. He tells them, you know, where the weaknesses are, and he judges what they're doing wrong. He commends them. I'm glad that God does that. But in chapter number 6, he's getting ready to pour out his wrath upon the whole world. He's getting ready to judge the world. So I guess judgment truly does begin at the house of the Lord. There's another group of people. There's the Jew, Israel. There's the church, the body of Christ. What's the other group of people? Yeah. The nations, the Gentile nations. That's the only three people in all the world, right? You have the Gentiles, the Jews, and the church. Within the church, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. That's right. That's what the scripture teaches. All right. After chapter 4, one of those groups that we just named is not mentioned on earth again. It's inferred. It's the church. There's a reason for that. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Okay? I want you to look at verse number 19. We're going to go ahead and get into our study. I want you to put your thinking caps on. He said in chapter 4 and verse number, well, chapter 1, we'll start there. And he said, and the things which shall be hereafter. And then in chapter number 4, he said, and there's just so many good things, and I'm just going to give an overview of some things tonight, okay? We're just going to kind of take a panoramic view of several key things that John has in mind when he writes chapter 4, verse 1. He said, after this, which I think is very, it's obvious what after this is. It's after the church age. After this, after the address to the churches, after the church age. By the way, I found it interesting in my study a couple of weeks ago. If you go back to chapter 3, this would be something for you to go home and just bear out. Okay? When you start in chapter number 3, notice if you would what the Lord Jesus does here. We go back to chapter 2. Look at verse number 25 of chapter 2. You have the church at Thyatira. And in verse number 25, he does something really interesting, Jesus does. And he doesn't do this up until this time. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. He says, but that which ye have already, hold fast. Now look what he says, till I come. Now here's the church. When you look at the succession, or you look at the how that they run continuous, here's a church that's not, that you would think, well, this church is not, you know, in the Philadelphian age or the Laodicean age. But what Jesus is doing is he's letting us know that there's a mindset in this church that's going to be around when he comes. That's what he's doing. Look again what he said in verse number 25. He said, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. So there's a remnant of this, and you need to know something about this. You need to know something about Pergamos and Thyatira. State church. Catholic. Good works. All right? When you look at his commendation, you look at some things that Jesus is saying here. He said in verse number 25, he said, that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. He said, you've got some good things, and there's some people. So he said, well, I don't believe anybody in the Catholic Church is saying, now, wait a minute, hold it. You don't believe that a Catholic can be saved? How many believe? No, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. If you think every Catholic's going to hell, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's Catholics that are saved. I want you to know that. Okay? You say, now listen, I'm against the Catholic Church, and I'll probably get shot before tomorrow. That's okay. I'm against the Catholic Church. I think the Catholic Church is, I think that they're in error, and I think they lead people astray. But I do believe there are people who are saved who claim to be Catholics. I believe there's people who are saved who claim to be Pentecostal. I believe there's people who are saved who claim to be Methodist. I believe there's people that are saved. You say, I don't believe anybody but Baptists are saved. You need to study your Bible. Now, I believe there's a lot of people that are led astray, and I believe there's a lot of people in churches that they're not growing in at all. And they're miserable because they're not growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice what Jesus says here. Now, it's very important you understand this. He told this church, he said, I want you to hold fast, in verse 25, that ye already have till I come. And then if you look at the next church, which is the church of Sardis, you see that in chapter 3, in verse number 1, the church of Sardis. Look in verse number 3. He said, I will come on thee as a thief. That's what he told that church. Did Jesus say he was coming as a thief in the night? Did he? You know what this church is? This is a Reformation church. It is. This is a church that pulled out of that Catholic church. And he said, you know, you've got some things remaining too. You need to study this, okay? You need to go home and do this. Say, well, I want you to do it and tell me about it. No, you do it. Amen. See, somebody could tell you, but you need to study for yourself. We may look at it some. We've looked at it a little, just very, very lightly. And so he says to the church of Thyatira, he said, you know, you hold some things until I come. And then he said to the church of Sardis, which is the Reformation, the Renaissance church, he said, you know, you've got some things. I'm going to come on you as a thief. He said, you're not going to be ready. You're not going to be ready, but I'm coming anyway. By the way, he says that to us. And then you get to the next church, which is what? The church of Philadelphia. He lets us, that church, know I'm coming too. You see, so I think there's three groups of people here. I think there's the state church. I think there's the works church. All right? I do. And then I think there's the missionary church. I believe that's the Philadelphian church. Now, I don't mean missionary churches in denomination. I mean churches that are trying to get the gospel out, churches that are trying to win people. They're stepping through open doors. That's what the Church of Philadelphia, they understand brotherly love. Okay? Notice what he says to that church in verse number 11 of chapter 3. Behold, I come quickly. And he said this. He said, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take what? Thy crown. That is a direct reference to the second coming. Because when Jesus comes, we who have been faithful are going to receive crowns. What are we going to do with crowns? Well, we're going to see just a little bit of that tonight. And so these three churches, I think there will be remnants of the teachings of these churches according to the scripture that will be active when Jesus comes again. You say, well, what about the church of Laodicea? Well, I've combed through for 2 weeks. I've read many, many commentaries. I have read verse 14 through the end of chapter 3 no less than 50 times. I cannot find one mention where Jesus tells this church he's coming to them. Not one. If you find a reference, and I'm not saying this, I'm not, sarcastically, you please come to me. So what does that mean? Well, I believe, first of all, when you look at verse number 14, it's not the church of Christ. It's not the church of Jesus in a place. It's the church of the Laodiceans. It's the church of the people. I think there will be a church that'll go right on into the tribulation period, and Jesus is on the outside of the church. He's knocking to get in. That's what it says in verse number 20. Isn't that what it says, brethren? He's on the outside of this church. And he's knocking to get in. This is professing Christendom. See, some people get professing Christendom and possessing Christ mixed up. Did you hear what I just said? Don't you get it mixed up. Just because somebody professes Christendom or Christianity doesn't mean they possess Christ. Yeah. I better turn my mic on. So, this church of Laodicea, or the church of the Laodiceans, I've looked and I can't find one single reference. But I tell you what I do see. I see in the first church and the last church what Jesus is after. There are those who say, well, you know, I think Jesus wants us to witness. And he does. And the others say, well, I think Jesus wants us to work. And he does. But what really Jesus is after, brethren, is worship. And I want you to notice how this is so obvious. When it starts out in the church at Ephesus, he says, you know what? You've left your passion. You've left your first love. You're not worshiping. You're just going through the motions. And it built up to the last, look if you would, look what Jesus says in verse number 20 of chapter 3. It's just very telling. Jesus doesn't say, hey church, I want you to be soul winning like the church of Philadelphia. That's not what he says. I want you to be missionary minded like the church of Philadelphia. Yeah, that's not what he says to this church. He said in verse number 20, he said, I stand at the door knocking, and we know, and he said, you know, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, now watch this, and will sup with him. That's what he's after. You know what that word means? It's a pretty broad word, even, it's a small word. It just really means fellowship. I could tell you some other things. It means sit down, maybe around a cup of coffee, maybe just sit down and maybe have a small meal and just have some intimacy together. Let's just discuss some things. Let's fellowship. Let's open up and get to know each other more. That's what he's saying. You need to know some things about me. And he said, if you will open the door in verse number 20, I will come in and I will sup with him, and I like this, and he with me. See, that's the need. Now, I brought that to your attention for the purpose of when you turned the page, John said this, after this, I looked. And I'm going to come back to that phrase. Something caused John to look. You know, the book of Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse number 28, I hope you'll write this verse of scripture down. It says, Jesus is coming the second time for them that look for him. Paul wrote in Titus, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Looking, something is going to happen to cause believers to look and long for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, some people believe it's going to be persecution. Some people believe that there's going to be like a small breakout of revival. And it's going to reawaken people to the fact that Jesus is coming again. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't. It may be that our government says there's UFOs out there. You've been following this, right? It's very interesting to me. If you haven't been following this, you need to follow this. Every time I hear something like that, my mind starts going to work. I've often wondered when we leave here what the devil's going to do to explain us. How is he going to explain when we're gone? You do know you're leaving here, right? If you're saved, you're leaving here. I don't believe in the rapture. That's not going to change the fact that there's going to be one. Amen. We're going to leave this world, brother. And every time something weird like what we're going to, I'm not saying that's what the devil's going to use. I'm not saying that. So don't leave here and say, well, you know, now I know how the devil's going to explain the disappearance of hundreds of thousands of people. I'm just saying that it just, you know, I think that God just lets us in. There's kind of test. There's test. There's going to be some people wake up in the tribulation period. Did you know that? They are. There's going to be some people wake up and they're going to see through all of these things that we're being deceived with. Now, don't you be deceived. But there are going to be some people to wake up to the deception. And when they realize what's going to happen, they're going to realize, you know what, I don't have any way out of this except for get this mark. He says, is that going to happen? We're going to see here in just a moment. Because John said, after this, I looked
And he said, behold, look at it. A door was open in heaven. That's Jesus. Listen, that's the only way that you can get into heaven. He said, I am the door. Jesus is the door. You're not going to get into heaven without going through the door of Jesus. Amen. And he said, there was a door opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Now, he didn't say a trumpet was talking with me. He said, it's as it were of a trumpet. There is not a doubt in my mind that this correlates. It fits right beside 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When you look at Revelation 4, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 15 through 51 through 58, there is no way that you can see that, hey, it's talking about the same thing. The rapture of the church. We're going to be taken out of here. After this, after what? When the church age comes to a close. One day, the last soul is going to be saved. The last sermon is going to be preached. The last prayer is going to be prayed. Are you listening? It's real. This is real. We've been rocked to sleep for many years. As a matter of fact, Jesus warns us over and over and over again. Now, you be careful. Not to slumber and sleep. Don't you go to sleep now. Jesus said this over and over while he was here. There's going to be a time and the church is going to fall asleep and men are going to just get in a stupor and they're going to forget what Jesus said. They're going to forget what the Bible teaches and they're going to think, you know what? This thing's just going to keep on going and going and going. One day is going to be like the next. And so on and so forth, and the dailies and weeks into months, and months into years, and years into decades, and decades into centuries. It's just going to go on like the time always is going on. No, it's not. No, it's not. One day is going to be the last day for us here as believers, brethren. Now, it may be through death, but it may be through the call to come up hither. And that's what he says. He said, I heard of a trumpet, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things. And here's that third, look at it now, verse number one. Here's that third compartment. I will show thee things which must be hereafter. What do you know about those things? Well, I tell you, Christians need to know about these things because they must come to pass. That's what John said. He said, I'm going to show you some things that must happen. They must happen. So, well, we're going to be raptured. Listen, look what he said now. Look what he said in chapter 4, verse 1. Come up hither, and I will show thee the thing that must happen hereafter. That's not what he said. That's not what he said. There's several things that he wants to show us. Why? Because you need to know. I need to know. What do you know about those things? Somebody raise your hand and say, I know this is going to happen. Yes. Yeah, that's the rapture. That's going to happen. Okay, the rapture's going to happen. There's not a doubt in, listen, there's no way that you can study the scripture honestly and not take away that there's going to be this gathering away. Isn't that what 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 or 2 says? There's this gathering away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that. This gathering together, this called out, this seizure, if you will, this seizure of people is going to be called out of here. Supernaturally, we're going to be called out of here. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. That's right. What's another thing?
7 years of tribulation.
Absolutely. There's going to be tribulation, right? 7 years. It's going to be 3.5 years or 42 months, the Bible says, 1,260 days. It mentions all three of those of tribulation. And then a peace treaty is going to be broken, and there's going to be 42 months of great tribulation, which Jesus said is going to come on this world like this world has never seen. And if time permits, I doubt it will tonight, but next week, we're going to talk about some of these things. I'm telling you, brethren, we just have no clue. We think that we've seen some terrible things in our lifetime. Doesn't even touch the tip of the iceberg. When you read this book right here, especially this book of the Revelation, I'm telling you right now, it will literally make the hair on the back of your neck stand up because you know this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And it could start as early as now. Brother Dan? The rapture. The rapture. But as far as these things, yes. Absolutely. The rise of Antichrist. Now, don't miss this, okay? There's an unholy Trinity. There's a holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. There's an unholy Trinity. All right? The dragon, which is that old devil, the beast, and the false prophet. Right? The beast, Antichrist. All right? You need to know that. The Bible, I mean, here in this book, just lays it out just as clear as can be. Clear as can be. This is real. You believe Jesus is real? You believe Christ is real? I believe you do. I just want you to know, so is the Antichrist. I believe he's alive. You say, why do you believe he's alive? Because there's no way I could believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus if I didn't believe the Antichrist is alive. Because once the Christ comes to take out his church, the Antichrist is going to step on the scene. So the rise of Antichrist. Yeah. What's something else? Yes. Brother Alston. Right. Amen. The graves are going to be emptied out. Brother Bud.
Satan's going to make war with God.
Amen.
It's not going to work.
The battle, what he's referring to, there's actually two times that Satan is going to attempt to make battle. Okay? One before he's thrown into the bottomless pit. Listen, this is the things that he said you must, this is going to happen. There's going to be the battle of Armageddon, where the devils of hell, you can read this in Revelation 16. I was going to try to get into it tonight. I'm just giving you a little overview. I want you to know that this stuff is coming to pass. It must come to pass. Revelation 16, Revelation 19. Listen, in the Mount of Megiddo, in the Valley of Jezreel, these places exist. The devils of hell are going to fill the hearts of the kings of the earth to come down to that area to pounce on Israel. And Jesus, listen to me, is going to come out of heaven riding on a white horse. You say, that sounds like a fairy tale. It's not a fairy tale. It might sound like one. It's a reality. I am going to be riding on a white horse. If you're saved, you're going to be on a... The armies of Christ are going to come with him. And he is going to smite the nation, the nations with the sword that proceedeth out of his mouth. You say, do you really believe that's going to happen? Not only that, the blood that's going to come from that battle is going to run to the bridles of the horses. Yeah. And then Satan is going to be cast into a bottomless pit. You can read this in Revelation chapter 20. For 1,000 years, here's another thing that must come to pass. Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. During that 1,000 years, we're going to rule and reign with Christ on this earth if you've been faithful. You listening? If you've been faithful, you're going to rule and reign with Christ. Now, if you're saved, you're going to be there. But if you've been faithful, you're going to rule and reign. Read Revelation 20. It's in the book. Then he's going to be loosed, Satan. He's going to be loosed. After the 1,000 years, he's going to be loose for a season. Now, this is how dumb the devil is. Now, listen, you say the devil's not dumb. Oh, yeah, he is. He's plenty stupid. Yeah. You don't have to be smart to be evil. You do know that, right? I mean, I just want you to know, you do not have to be smart to be evil. Actually, a lot of people that are evil think they're smart. That's why they're in prison right now. You understand, right? I'm going to rob this bank because I know how to do it. Listen, I'm evil, and I know how to get away with it, though hundreds of thousands of people have done it before and didn't get away with it. But I'm so evil, and I'm so smart that I'm going to do it and get away with it. They're in prison. So you don't have to be smart to be evil. The devil, listen, he's crafty now. The Bible teaches that. And he does have some intelligence about him. But when it comes to God, he doesn't. You know why? He fights against God, gets slaughtered in the Battle of Armageddon, gets put in prison for 1,000 years, gets out, goes around and gathers from the four corners of the earth, all of those that will follow him after the millennial reign, and then that there's a battle of Gog and Magog. But that's his final battle there. Because this time he doesn't get put in a holding cell. He gets cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. You can read this in Revelation chapter 20. It's real, brethren. This is going to happen. Just like things are happening today, China's flying weather balloons. our Air Force is shooting down UFOs. Yeah, just like there's news being made today, this is going to be news in that day. It is. But God's already told us the way it's going to end. Now, what's going to happen in light of all those things? There's just so many things. There is going to be 144,000. Now, listen to me. 144,000 spirit-filled, flaming evangelists that's going to be preaching across this world during the tribulation period. You say, no, wait a minute. I had a Jehovah's Witness stop by and say that was them. Well, these are going to be Jehovah's Witnesses, but they're not going to be the kind you're thinking of. They're going to be witnesses for Jehovah. That's right. You do know that. They're going to be preaching the gospel of the everlasting kingdom. That's coming to this earth. It's going to happen, brethren. It is. There's going to be two witnesses that are going to be sent back to this earth. I personally believe that it's going to be Moses and Elijah. Now listen, if you don't believe that, you say, well, you know what? I'm going to break fellowship with you. If you break fellowship with me over that, then there's something bad wrong with you. You got to choose your battles. Amen. I wouldn't die on that hill. Listen, I wouldn't even fight on that hill, let alone to the death. But there's two witnesses who are coming to this earth, brethren. And they're going to walk this earth, and they're going to preach, and Satan's going to have them murdered. And they're going to line the street. You do know this, right? You've read this. I hope you have. It's going to happen. And you know what? God's going to resurrect them. He is. Before the eyes of all of mankind. God's going to do this. This is what, when John said, I want you to write the things which must be hereafter, that's just a little taste of what he says. Now, I want to show you something, and then our time will be up tonight, okay? So John said, I want to show you things which must be hereafter. These things are going to happen. They're going to happen. So in chapter 4 and chapter 5, and we'll look at these chapters. In chapter 4 and chapter 5, we go from earth to heaven. You followed me? He said, I looked. And he said, there was a door open in heaven, and it said, come up hither. And he said, immediately, look in verse 2, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. So John is no longer on earth. He's in heaven. Chapter 4 and 5. But when you get to chapter 6, we come back to earth. And he said, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Well, there was a book in chapter 5 that they couldn't find anybody that opened that book. And this book has seven seals. And he begins to unlock and unleash some things upon this earth like this earth has never seen. Seven seals. And then in the seventh seal, there's going to be seven trumpets. The last three of those trumpets are going to be three woes. Trumpet 5, 6, and 7 are three woes. And then there's going to be seven vials, and that's V-I-A-L-S, like bowls. These are going to be judgments of God upon this world. You say, well, you know, I can take it. Well, let's just see what the Bible says. Okay? Just want to give you just a little taste of what it's going to be like. Now, it would be enough for me. I've read Matthew 24, the Mount Olivet Discourse. If you haven't read that recently, I really encourage you to read it. If you've never read it, I wouldn't go to bed tonight before I read it. The Mount Olivet Discourse. Okay? And Jesus said, the time of tribulation is going to be like this world has never known. That's enough for me. Because though I'm not a history buff, I have studied a little history, and I know, man, there's been some dark days on this earth. Some dark days on this earth. And if Jesus said it's going to be like this never had known, could you imagine that? And so it starts out by saying in chapter number 6 and verse number 1, I saw a lamb And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. You know, here's our imitator. You got to remember now, when Jesus comes back, he's coming on a white horse in Revelation 19. But here's our imitator getting ready to kick off the tribulation period. Why? Because he's Antichrist. And so he's a white horse. Now notice what the Bible says about him. He says he's a white horse, and he sat on him. He had a bow, but no arrow. Peace, safety. That's what the world's clamoring. There are some people that have sold their soul for a little peace. There are some people that would, if they could, sell their soul just to have some peace. Oh, listen, Jesus is the only Prince of Peace. This man can give no peace. He can promise, but he can't, listen, he can't perform it. And so for he comes and he says, we're going to make peace with all the world. We're going to make peace. It's amazing that Jesus said, right before this happens, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars and nation rising up against nation. It's going to be turmoil. You know what our country, and I'll be through here. Give me 5 minutes, okay, and I'm going to be through. You know what our country is gearing for? I want you to hear me now. We're raising a generation of sissies. Amen. That will run from confrontation. They will run from fighting. Now listen, I don't mean every one of you, okay? I thank God for the Young People Fellowship Baptist, and there's churches that have good, strong young people, and I thank God for them. Amen. But by and large, we have men wanting to dress like women. Some of them may want to be women. Some of them have already turned into women. Well, in their own little kind of way. Run from confrontation. Run from war. We've come a long way from Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. We've come a long way from that. Now, give me my phone and I won't fight. It's about where we are. We'll lay down for you if you'll just give us 5 hours on social media. Give us a little bread and circus, and we'll do whatever you want us to do. It's about where we live. It really is. No character, no fight, no resolve. Just anything goes. Just don't take my programs off of Thursday nights. Just don't shut down ESPN or DirecTV. Don't turn my data off on my phone. I mean, that's where we are as a society. I'm not being mean. I'm not saying you, but if you're not careful, we can get sucked into that too. Some folks are okay with the government keeping them up. How do they sleep at night? They're okay with that. I know you couldn't be okay with that. I know, listen, we come from a generation, we cannot be okay with that. But some people are fine with it, brethren. Some people are fine with that. That's where we are. It's not a good day we live in. I'll close with this. Well, I'm going to give you two scriptures. Look at verse number 17 of chapter 6. The judgment of God is going to be so hard. So hard. Now, you do know now. There's going to be an all-out war. You know that. I just hope that you understand what this world is just racing toward. And it's because of man's rebellion against God. And I'm going to show you that in here in just a moment. So some people will see. And they'll realize, and they will run, and they will hide, and they'll realize God's wrath has fallen on us. And so look, if you would, in verse number 17 of chapter 6. The great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? This is not a game. Some people say, well, I'll do what I want, how I want, who I want, where I want. Listen, one day God's going to set the record straight. God's going to show some people who's in charge. I just want you to know that. I'm not saying that being mean. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. People think God's a game and church is for weaklings. No, listen. God's in control, and God's word is going to come to pass every jot and every tittle. And so then he said, the great day of his wrath has come. And there's going to be people fleeing to the rock. They're going to be saying, hide me. Hide me. And it's going to be so bad. Turn over to chapter 9 just for a moment. It's going to be so bad in chapter number 9 in the book of the Revelation. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. In those days, this is in the tribulation period now, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That's what God said. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, now you talk to God about that when you get to heaven, if you make it there, if you're saved. But I'm telling you what God said. See, we can't even fathom what's coming to this world. You can't even fathom it. And so when you see me stand up here and you see me get a little emotional when I'm calling for people to get saved, or you see me getting a little passionate when I'm talking about people, you come and give your heart to Jesus, I just want you to know it's because I believe what I've read to you tonight. And I don't want anyone going to hell, okay? I don't want anyone going there. Could you imagine all this in hell too? Some people's going to experience a little hell on earth before they go there. And I don't say that. Listen, it's real. The old timers used to have a saying, get right or get left. And you don't want to be left. And you don't want to take this as a game and just kind of shrug it off and let the devil have you to believe that, well, you know, that's just the way those old fogies believe. Listen to me, young people. No, that's what the Word of God says. Turn over if you would. I'll give you just, I think I wrote this down. And I didn't. Well, look at verse number 9. I'll use this as a closing verse. You say, preacher, when all this starts, there's going to be people flock to churches, and they're going to get right with God, and they're going to turn to the Lord, and they're going to bow down and say, God, have mercy on us. Let me show you what's going to happen. It's going to be different, brethren. See, when we go, and I want you to listen to me now. I cannot explain this. When we go, the Holy Ghost is going with us. So now that's impossible. Well, he came, didn't he? On the day of Pentecost. Did the Holy Ghost come on the day of Pentecost? You say, well, I thought he was everywhere. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. Why? To birth the church. And he's going to leave with us. That's what this book teaches. So it's going to be a different day. I want you to know that now. All right? You think it's cold now? And I don't mean temperature-wise. I mean spiritually speaking. You think it's frosty and cold now? You just wait till there's no light in this old world, where the salt and the light are removed and the Holy Ghost goes up with the church. And there's very little spiritual influence in this world. Now, I don't mean the Spirit of God will still be here, but I mean as far as the power that we know him as when he is working within hearts, it's going to go up with the church. Look at what happens, and this will be our closing verse. The tribulation period, men are going to get so angry at God, they're going to curse and blaspheme him and shake their fist in his face and say, you make me sick. Now, some men are already doing that. There's other scriptures, but the scripture says in verse number 20 of chapter 9, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet, look at it now, repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. They're worshiping devils. And they're not repenting of it. They're basically telling God, we don't care what you say and what you do. We're going to do what we want to do. We're gearing up for that now. We're seeing a lot of it even now. But when we're gone, the salt, the light, the resistance, the Holy Ghost, he that now letteth is going to be taken out of the way. That's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians. That they should worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood. Look at this now. Which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders. They've been running around murdering people. nor of their sorceries. I want you to go home and study that word out. It's pharmakia, drugs. You say, oh yeah, I seen a guy, you know, in the back alley selling a bag of it the other day. I don't think he's talking about that. I think you're going to be able to drive down to the local pharmacy and pick you a bottle up. It's going on today. Our world's on drugs. Everybody needs something to, yeah, got to take a pill to get them up, got to take a pill to get them going, got to take a pill to slow them down, then got to take a pill to get them to sleep. I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying, listen to me. The world is drugged. The world is drunk. We've got Christians running around saying, well, there's nothing wrong with drinking. When's the last time you've read the Bible? Well, what do you mean? That stuff has ruined more people's lives. That stuff has sent more people to the grave. My goodness. And then we got people who say they're a Christian who make statements like, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty wrong with it. Go home and read Proverbs 23. That'll get you started. Nor of their fornication. Free sex. We're going to do what we want, how we want, with who we want. Fornication, sexual perversion. Adults with children, men with men, women with women, humans with animals. Now, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff, preacher. I'm just telling you what God said. I'm telling you what the things which must be hereafter. Nor of their thefts. Thefts? I wish I had time to take you to chapter 13, because there's going to come a system in place. And no man's going to be able to buy or sell, except to have a mark. And some people say, well, I'm not going to take that mark. You reckon? Wonder how many meals you'll have to miss before you change your mind about that one. How many modern conveniences you'd have to be stripped away with before you said, no, wait a minute, I didn't know it was going to be all this. Now listen, I just said all that to say this. It's not a pretty picture. I haven't even got close. It's a terrible time coming, brethren. And it's really time that we as Christians, I said we now, we wake up. This is really going to happen. And we think that we're being persecuted if the preacher keeps us in church over an hour. I'm just telling you the mindset of what we live in. You know, one of the things, if you'll read over and over again in the book of the Revelation, is people getting offended. You think we're there? Can't say anything. I'm offended. I'm offended. You've offended me. How'd I offend you? Well, you didn't use the right pronoun. What? See, this is the day we live in. It's very real. We are ripe for these things that must be hereafter to begin. I want you to stand with me, and I want you to go home and just start reading through. Would you do that? Maybe you have been, and I hope that you have been. Just start reading through the book of the Revelation. And when you get to something, you say, well, you know, I don't fully understand that. Just make a note of it and say, well, I hope that we'll cover that in Wednesday nights. Next Wednesday, we're just going to start, the Lord willing, with the things which must be after, and we're just going to march right through the book, and we're going to look at what God is going to do. It's going to be very real. And if nothing else, I hope it'll quicken my heart and just really awaken me and stir me to the fact that, you know, I need to do more while I can, because there is coming a time when I can't. And if you're not where you need to be, trim your lamp. Okay? Trim your lamp.